So as you can see, we're no longer in my home, but we are now in our brand new online studio. We've decided to use this season to continue to grow and expand as a church. Our vision is to see people experience life change through Jesus Christ. That may be through our Kildare location, through our Dublin location, and now through our online location. It's incredible, the last few weeks and months we've seen that we've had hundreds and hundreds of new people attend Open Arms online from all around the world. We've had people from Australia and Ethiopia and the States and the UK are tuning in or sending messages, and it's just incredible. And so we want to continue to move forward in this. In the next few weeks, we hope to be able to have some worship sessions here also, but we're continuing to advance and move forward as a church. And when we do come back together and gather together again, it's going to be amazing to see all the new faces, the new people who call themselves a part of Open Arms. But today, if you're just joining us for the very first time, you are so welcome to Open Arms Church. My name is Sean Booth, I'm the pastor here, and today we're continuing on in our series, Prepare to Move. This is week 3. And together we are asking and answering the question, how do I move from where I am to where I want to be? And it begins with a thought that what if we use this time together to allow God to use it as a platform to prepare in us for where he wants to bring us to? Because you know what? We believe that God is on the move. We believe that we can and will experience a great move of God in our lives, in our homes, in our communities, and in our land. So let's prepare to move. Let's get ready in anticipation, believing and knowing that God is moving. I want to ask you a question today. Are you tired of the struggle and the strain of life? Are you asking, how do I find true freedom? Like, how do I experience real joy, real peace? Are you looking for more than just dull religion, where it's the same old, rather than just having faith, but to have a faith that is powerful, to have a faith that you put into action and you see it come to life in your life? As you review your life and you look at where you want to go and who you want to be, do you ask the question, you know, where do I start? You know, how do I get going? Where do I find the power to move, the strength to move, the energy to move, and even the desire to move? How do I just start? You know, oftentimes starting is the hardest thing to do. Step one can be the hardest step to take. Simply moving can be the hardest thing that we do, let alone moving in the right direction to go to the right place. We all need momentum to move out of that place that we feel that we're struggling, to move out of the strain of our lives, and to have a faith that has power, that takes action, to truly see freedom alive in us and to experience that joy and that peace. We all need help to get us going, to start us off, to get out of the place where we may be constantly feeling in that place of stress and the struggle as we're striving or we're not seeing anything come to pass, but that we would see and begin to see progress in our lives as we begin to move from where we are to where we want to be. I want to share with you one thing today. One thing that will give you the momentum to move. In fact, it will move you so much so that you will be able to break through the barriers that you face, the walls that surround you, and break off the chains that are holding you back. A momentum that will truly empower you and release you to move. This one thing can be found in the Spirit of God. It is the Holy Spirit that is active in you, alive in you, living in you, empowering you and releasing you to move. And here's the good news. He's available to you right now. And all you need to do is to say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit upon me. All we need to pray is, come, Holy Spirit. That's the words that 120 believers, the followers of Jesus, cried out to God in the upper room until the day of Pentecost came. the day where the Holy Spirit was poured out upon all people, available to all. A day that we've been celebrating for 2,000 years. It's a day that we're celebrating right now. Pentecost Sunday, the day that God poured out his Spirit upon all people. What does this day look like? What happens in our lives when God's Spirit is poured out over us? How do we receive this momentum to move? How do we receive the power of the Holy Spirit? How do we receive that thing in our life that's going to help to release us to move, to release from that place of straining and striving and under stress and under pressure, and to move in to where the Spirit of God is calling us to? Well, we're going to look in Scripture today, and we're going to turn to Acts chapter 2, verses 17 through 21. The book of Acts really is the beginning of the church, the movement of Jesus Christ moving into the world and seeing it expand from the city of Jerusalem right throughout the ends of the earth. And in verse 17, we see that Peter, the apostle Peter, he preaches a message and he begins with these words. He says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams." These are not just any dreams or any visions. They are divine, God-given dreams and visions. "Even on my servants, both men and women." Now, the Greek word here used for servants is doulos, which means those who are devoted. He's speaking here about those who are devoted to God. He says, "I will pour out my Spirit in those days and they will prophesy." That means that they will boldly speak the word of God. Verse 19, "I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Here's the title of my message today: A Move of God. We all need a move of God in our lives. And I believe that it is God's desire to move us to the place that he wants to lead us to, and to become the people in which he is calling us and creating us to be. And for this to happen, we need to make way for God to move in us so that he can move us to the place that he is calling us to in the most powerful way. You know, there is a sense that God is up to something new. There is a sense that God is shifting and he is moving and he is changing and he's bringing something new come to fruition. And I believe that we are going to experience the greatest move of God that we have ever seen in our lives and in our land that we've ever seen before. God is on the move. He is on the move in your life, in your home, in your marriage, in your children, and in your community. So I want us to lean in together, to prepare together, to expect together. I want us to open up our hearts to hear what God wants to say to us. I encourage you, take notes. Write down what you sense God is saying to you. Let's lean in. Let's have open ears, because you know what? God wants to speak to you. The question is, are you ready and willing to hear what he says and to put it into action and apply his word? So firstly, when we look at the Holy Spirit, a question that many people ask is, who is the Holy Spirit? Maybe you're new to faith or new to church or new to Open Arms. But we as Christians, we believe that we are called to serve one God. We serve one God. In fact, the first commandment of the Ten Commandments says to serve the Lord our God and to serve no other God. God is one and three persons all at the same time. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This is the Trinity. One God, three persons. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. And Jesus, he introduces us to the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, verse 7. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." In this scripture, Jesus is talking about dying on the cross for our sins, being resurrected from the grave and ascending to the right hand of his Father. But he says, when he departs, when he leaves, he will leave the Helper, the Holy Spirit. He speaks more about him in verse 13 and 14. He says, "However, When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for what he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. This is Jesus speaking. This is key. Jesus is saying he will not speak in his own authority, but he will speak by the authority of Jesus Christ. What he hears, he will speak. Who is he hearing from? He's hearing from Jesus. The Holy Spirit, he communicates to us. When we are hearing from the Holy Spirit who resides in our spirit, we are hearing from Jesus. See, when we give our lives to Jesus, he takes up residence in our lives and in our spirit. He is with us at all times. Therefore, we must allow the Holy Spirit to direct us, to guide us as we leave from where we are to where we want to be. And as we move and prepare to move, we need to be in connection with the Holy Spirit as he communicates to us. And receiving the power of the Holy Spirit, the momentum to move, where we become fully immersed in him and he in us, where we receive the power to move, the momentum where it's not by our strength, but by the Spirit of God. This is first introduced to us on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. The pretext to this moment is that Jesus has recently been crucified on the cross only to defeat death, is raised to life by God through the resurrection. Peter says it like this in Acts 2:24. He says, God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And in Jesus's remaining days between the resurrection and the ascension, which was 40 days in total, he spends time with his disciples and he tells his disciples that the Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to change your life. In fact, he's going to change this world. But he says, but they must wait for it. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus says, wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. Now, what will happen in this moment in which they receive the Holy Spirit? Well, Acts 1:8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 begins with the Holy Spirit being poured out by God upon the 120 disciples in the upper room. Listen to the Message translation. It says they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, a gale force wind. No one could tell where it was coming from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. The NIV says it like this. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. We see that the Spirit breaks out among the people, among the disciples, and they begin breaking out, worshiping God, being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in different languages. Now we see next that a crowd begins gathering in the streets and begins gathering around the building where the Spirit is breaking out as what's going on at that time as it is Pentecost. There's a festival going on in the city. And so there's people from all over the world who have gathered together for this festival. And each of them begin hearing from this room, from this building, they begin hearing the disciples worship God in their own native tongues. People are so in awe, they begin asking, what does this mean? Some of them begin making fun of them, saying they've had a few too many to drink already. Then the Apostle Peter, he steps forward with the 11 other disciples and he raises his voice in verse 14. He says, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then he begins to quote Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 32, where Joel prophesies the great move of God. In the Old Testament, Joel is prophesying that the great move of God is going to happen in the last days. The last days here in verse 17, it refers to Jesus Christ's first coming and his second coming, which is the very day in which Peter is referring to. In fact, it's still the day that we are living in right now. He's saying that God said that this would happen, and what has been prophesied is taking place right now. He's saying that God has poured out his Spirit today, on this day, the day of Pentecost. He was preaching that a move of God was not just coming, that a move of God was here, is happening right now. He's declaring that we're no longer waiting on a move of God, for we are a move of God. God has poured out his Spirit, and his Spirit is available to everyone. And I love this. In his next breath, he begins telling them about Jesus Christ. He begins telling them about the death, crucifixion, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He begins encouraging them that they must repent, seek forgiveness, and follow Jesus. This is important to note. A move of God always points people to Jesus. A move of God always points people to Jesus. Through a move of God, we will see people experience life change through Jesus Christ. It's not meant to be weird and wacky, but it's to be naturally supernatural, where God moves powerfully in our thinking, in our minds, where we experience great peace and great calm, where we experience a move of God in our marriages, where we now have great intimacy and great romance. We experience a move of God within our kids, where they are on fire for Jesus. We can experience a move of God in our friendships, in our career, in our communities, in our workplaces, in our schools, and in our neighborhoods, as he moves through us with the purpose of pointing people to Jesus. That our vision would be and is that people would experience life change through Jesus Christ. In verses 17 and 18 of Acts chapter 2, God says through the prophet Joel, now through Peter who's preaching this message, he says these words, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Now to pour is defined as to flow rapidly in a steady stream. What do we see in Ireland? When it rains, it pours. It all comes in a rapid succession. As rain pours from the heavens, his Spirit will pour out on all people. So it's not going to be a drip feed where it's little by little, but it will be poured out like a great flood of water. It will make a dramatic impact, and its effects will be noticeable. We've received so many words recently that God is going to do this again here in our nation, in our land, and throughout the world, that we're going to see the floodgates break open. We're going to see a great move of God where God's Spirit will pour out on all people. We believe that there is a flood coming. Well, we're going to see the flood sweep right throughout our land and consume everything in its way with God's all-consuming power and glory and presence. And in verse 17 and 18, we see here that we begin to understand the impact of God's Spirit being poured out on his people. And he says a number of things. He says, our sons and daughters will prophesy, boldly speaking the word of God. He says, our youth will see visions and our elders will dream dreams. Even on my servants, so those who are devoted to God, who've devoted themselves to Jesus Christ, both men and women will prophesy. What can we understand from this? Well, a move of God is not confined to a few, but it is available to all, regardless of sex, age, role, or rank. It is available to all. In fact, in verse 21, we see this is reinforced, where he says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone is able to receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Everyone will prophesy. Now, what has grabbed my attention in study this week and preparing for this message is that word, prophesy. That God says when his Spirit is poured out that we will prophesy. What does this mean? Well, to prophesy is to be divinely inspired by God. It is to receive a divine message from God. It is to hear from God in such a way we receive a divine download and to speak it with faith into our future. It is to speak it into our with faith to shape our future. You see, a prophet When we see through the Old Testament, a prophet is someone who's called by God. They are someone who is selected, summoned, and sent by God. They are known as a servant of God. In the Old Testament, we see that the decisive words that shape the future came from the words of the prophet. In fact, right from the most influential kings, they listened to prophets for guidance. And now Peter is saying something quite transformational. He's saying that today marks the day that through the Spirit of the Lord, all will prophesy. Now, this is important for us to grasp when it comes to understanding and being prepared for a move of God. What you speak about will shape what will come about. What you speak about will shape what will come about. Now, I need you to hear me for a second. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Hear what I am saying. It will shape what will come about. It will not predict or will not determine what will come about, but it will shape your attitude. It will shape your perspective. It will shape your point of view, and it will set you up for what's going to happen next. I'll give you an example. My youngest son, Isaac, he is preparing and waiting for open heart surgery. It was due to happen in March, and it's been put off again and again and again. We're beginning to see slight changes in him where we can notice that he's beginning to deteriorate in some areas of his life. And so we, as parents, we want to have the surgery soon. But at the same time, there's this tension because that brings up its own level of fear and worry and doubt. Now, if in this place I choose to say boldly, I'm not going to be fearful, but I'm going to believe that in faith that Isaac, he doesn't need the surgery and he's going to be fine in Jesus' name. In fact, I declare, I prophesy that his heart is whole and the hole will be filled up and he will be okay forever. Now that can stir up faith. That sounds bold and audacious, but it doesn't make what I say come to pass. But instead, I can prophesy. And I have prophesied and spoke faith into our future with faith that I believe that through this surgery, God will make him new. That through this, he will be okay and the Lord will protect him. I declare and believe that I will choose to be strong and to be steadfast and to be faithful no matter what happens. That is what I am certain of. That is what it means to speak with faith as it shapes our futures together. You see, we can all choose to prophesy. We can all choose to declare God's word into our situations, into our spirits, into our future, speaking faith into our future. How? By speaking the word of God. That's what Peter did. He used scripture to show the people that this is what is taking place. What is happening right now is what God had spoken about in the past previously. He's saying now that God is moving. He is pouring out his spirit just like he said he would. This is what is going to be the effect and the impact of what happens all over the world, that we all have the ability to prophesy God's word. We all have the ability to say, do you know what? Today, regardless of my situation and my circumstance and what I'm going through, I am in Christ. And in him, I am more than a conqueror. We have all the ability to say, this situation will not defeat me. It will not overcome me because the battle is not mine, it's the Lord's. He says that he's fighting for me. So I need just to be still. I'm going to be in his peace. I'm going to be in his hands. He's going to protect me and to look after me. And I'm going to trust in his word and what he says. And I'm going to believe that what he has said will be so. That's what it means to prophesy, to boldly speak God's word, that it will shape our future as we speak in faith. We can all choose to prophesy with faith into our lives and also into the lives of others. Proverbs 18 verse 21, it says, the tongue has the power of life and death. Let's choose life. Let's choose to be a life-giving church that speaks life into the lives of others. Let's choose to speak God's word, because you know what? God's written word that we have the ability and the availability to read, his word has the power to shape and to mold our lives. His word has the power to shape our future, to shape our faith. His power, his word has the power to shift and to move. Let's speak the word of God. Let's speak God's promises. Let's speak hope and life and boldness and confidence into our church, into one another, into our community, and into our tomorrows, because God is moving. He's going to move in me and he's going to move through me. That I believe I can declare with faith, and I can prophesy into my life, and you can prophesy that into your life and the lives of your children and your family and your community, believing that what God has said will be So here's the application for each of us. A move of God has to start with us. It has to start with you and with me. God has to first move in us so that he can move us from where we are to the place and to the purpose that he has for us, so that he can move through us to point people to Jesus. So how do we begin with us? What do we do? Well, as Peter finished preaching, it's the same question that the people had who were listening. In verse 37, it says they were cut to the heart. Their hearts were moved. They were motivated to ask, what shall we do? And Peter replied in verse 38. He says, repent. Change your views and purpose to accept the will of God in your inner selves instead of rejecting it, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of and release from your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's saying, repent for the release of your sins so that you can receive the Holy Spirit. Here's the first thing that we can do, is repent. The Living Bible says it like this, is turn from sin and return to God. The Message says, change your life, turn to God. To repent is to reconsider your life and to change your direction. In fact, it's like pressing the reset button, choosing to start again. You may say, well, I've pressed that reset button so many times that it's broken. There's a malfunction happening. But you know what? God's mercies are new every day. It's time to put the past behind us and to start afresh today. Maybe you need to reset your habits, reset your disciplines, reset your thinking patterns. Maybe you've been failing in your devotion, or failing in the decisions that you've made, or failing in giving in to that thing again and again and again. Surrender it all to God. Press reset. It's time to repent. It's time to change your direction, to start again and to turn to God. Here's the second thing, is release. Peter says, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of and the release from your sins. Jesus forgives you. But now you need to forgive yourself. You need to receive his forgiveness. Jesus has released you from your sins. Now you need to choose to release yourself from your sins. You see, repent and release, they go hand in hand. If you repent, you reset, you turn from your previous ways of following yourself, you turn towards God, and you accept that he's released you from your sins. And now you need to choose to release yourself from some places, from some people. You need to release yourself from some temptations that cause you to remain in sin. Maybe you need to release yourself from spending your time with negative people who just drag you down. Maybe you need to release yourself from listening to and watching those things that thwart your thinking and cause you to be pessimistic. Maybe you need to release yourself from that habit that trips you up and keeps you trapped. Maybe you need to release yourself from those things in your life that distract and deter you from walking in forgiveness and freedom from your sins. Right now, I want to encourage you. Take a moment to make a decision in your heart. I'm going to repent. I'm going to press reset. I'm going to start again. Now ask yourself, what are some of the things in my life? Who are some of the people in my life that I need to be released from before I take a step forward? Who is it? What is it? Where is it? What action step do I need to take right now? Who do I need to text? What do I need to take out of my home? Where do I need to stop going? What thoughts and rabbit holes do I need to stop going down? Repent, release, and finally, receive. Receive the transformational power of the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Be filled with Him. Receive the momentum that you need to move. You know, as disciples, as they were preparing to move in the upper room, preparing themselves, praying to God before taking action and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ across the then known world, they were gathered together in the upper room and they were desiring to receive what they needed, waiting to receive what Jesus had told them about. Many were lacking strength and confidence, the courage that they needed. Many were needing the guidance and direction. Many maybe were feeling isolated, feeling alone, feeling abandoned. Maybe a sense of anxiety and doubt had crept into their lives as they were getting ready for God to provide them with what they needed and to receive the motivation to move. Do you feel like that today? Does that maybe describe who you are, the place in which you find yourself in, the feelings that you're coming up against, feeling exposed, feeling isolated, feeling on your own, feeling full of doubt and anxiety of what you're supposed to do, where you're supposed to go, how you'll ever get there? I want to encourage you. The disciples were on the edge of a miracle and they didn't even know it. Many of them thought that this was the end when it was only the beginning. They were on the precipice of something new that would not just transform them, but would transform the world around them. Isn't there a feeling right now that we're back at this place as we're locked up in our homes, reevaluating our lives, questioning what is this all about? Knowing that there must be more as we envision where we want to be and who we want to become as we desire for God to perform a miracle in our lives. Right now, what do you need to receive? Right now, in this moment, where do you need God to perform a miracle in you? Is your marriage on the brink of collapse? Are you struggling to maybe fall pregnant? Are you desiring for a life partner? Is there a disease maybe that's eating away at you or a habit that's destroying you? Are you feeling mentally and emotionally unstable? Are you feeling maybe tired, fed up, weary, yearning for a sense of peace and calm and rest, and you don't even know where to start? I want to encourage you. Start here. Start now. Start by receiving the Holy Spirit, by allowing Him to fill your life with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because with God, through His Holy Spirit, a miracle can happen now in your life. God can perform the miracle that you need. He can make the impossible possible. He can give you your heart's desire. He can answer your prayer and He can turn your dream into a reality. And the question is, will you receive Him today? Right now, maybe just close your eyes and where you are and say these words. Say, Lord, I receive you today. Will you fill me with your Holy Spirit? Will you perform a miracle in me? I want you to just pray these words after me and say, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my life. Maybe you say that for the first time or for the 100th time. But say it again. I'm choosing to repent, to be released from my sins and to receive the Holy Spirit. Hey, why don't you just say with me right now? Repeat these words after me and say, Jesus, I am choosing today to repent of my sin, to receive your forgiveness, to be released from my sin, and to receive your Holy Spirit. Amen. If you pray that prayer for the very first time, we'd love to celebrate with you. We'd love to connect with you. We'd love to help you as you prepare to move from where you are to where you want to be. What we have is we've got next steps. Every Thursday night, it's an opportunity for you to really be able to come and meet myself and my wife, and we'd love to hear who you are, hear your story, be able to share with you about our vision and our values, and then together help you on your next step. help you to fit in and become a part of a community, help you to know maybe where do I need help in navigating what I'm needing to do and where I need to grow and learn and be a disciple of Jesus, to become who he's calling us to be. And all you need to do is just go to openarms.ie/connect, and there you'll see a form. You just tick the box as you fill out your details. I am committing my life to Jesus, and we'll send you a link straight away to a Zoom meeting this Thursday night at 8 o'clock in Irish time. But before we worship one last time together, let me pray for you. What I pray right now for every single person who's making the decision today to press reset, to repent of our sins, to be released, finally, to be released from that baggage, the shame, the guilt, and now to receive the Holy Spirit, to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, the momentum that we need to move from where we are, to start, to leave the strain and the struggle and the stress and enter into the place in which you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen.